Hey everybody. So Eric and I are back with you to pick up on our next major segment of the Spirit class. In this last major segment of the class, we talked to you about how the Spirit works. And we tried to offer two general ideas about how the Spirit works. We're not going to rehash all of that. But Eric, just for very quick review, the word Spirit means
Breath.
breath. Breath. Okay. And that's going to be really important, y'all, because what we want to start discussing in this segment of the class is the miraculous works of the Spirit. Now, this is, I believe, our 16th class into this, and we are
Think so.
just now talking about the miraculous works of the Spirit. It's probably a bit out of order than other spirit studies that some of you may have been through, because often discussions about the Spirit begin here. But Eric, just as another quick review, has the Spirit done anything else in the history of humanity other than give talking in tongues and miraculous healings?
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Such as?
Such as our creation and such as making us a new creation.
Right. Very well said. Very well said. And so, what we'd like to try to discuss then is these are very important questions. How do these miraculous works of the Spirit relate to his other major work of the giving of life? To start, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 11. Okay, Numbers chapter 11. Now, this is a story that we had talked about in our overview of the Spirit's work in the Old Testament. At this point, Moses is overwhelmed and he is going to have 70 elders appointed who are going to serve as judges and arbiters for Israel. We see the Spirit come into play here. And Eric, if you will, read for me Numbers chapter 11. Let's do verses 24 through 25, please.
All right. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it.
There are two major lessons that I would like to point out from this text. And this, I think, is really a model text for understanding these miraculous works of the Spirit. Before I offer these two principles, though, let's just make this very clear. Is it the exception or the rule as you go through the Bible to see the Spirit giving miraculous gifts?
I would say that's an exception.
Yeah. For most of the scripture, do you see the kings of Judah and the judges and the apostles going around healing everything they touch? Do you see the disciples and the Christians in Israel speaking in tongues every turn?
No.
No, I think for a large part of my life as a Bible student, I assumed that, it was just commonplace to walk into Israel and to see a man healed on the street corner and to see speaking in tongues over here. But really, as you go throughout the story of the scriptures, these miraculous stories of the Spirit's work are really the exception rather than the rule. Two principles then I'd like to offer before we go in. Number one, the miraculous works of the Spirit were a supporting role to what these elders were going to be doing. What was going to be the major task of these elders?
I don't know.
I mean, are they going to be tongue speakers? Is that why they're appointed, Eric?
No.
Now, what are some other things they're doing?
They're looking over the nation of Israel and kind of leading them and guiding them closer to God.
Right. This example here of the Spirit coming down upon them and resting upon them and prophesying, this is the exception to what they're doing. So notice here that these miraculous prophesying work of the Spirit, this is a supporting role to their other major thing they were doing. Point two. These works ceased. Read that last sentence of verse 25, please.
But they did not continue doing it.
Notice again, they did not continue doing it. The Spirit came, gave gifts of prophecy, but then it stopped. Why then did the Spirit give these one-time gifts to the 70 elders?
I mean, it seems like very isolated, a very isolated point in time where this was given so that it was means for confirmation for what God was really doing for Israel. And it was just confirming that he was with them and that he was working among them.
Key word he just used, y'all, confirmation. This is not the major work of the Spirit. This was confirmation of what these elders were to be doing. All right, with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So the Hebrew author is discussing the message that has come by Jesus. And what we are going to see in the first few verses of Hebrews 2 is pretty much the same thing that we just saw in Numbers 11. Let's read the first four verses here, please.
All right. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to by us, by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
So what he's discussing here is the deliverance of the message to God's people. But also we're going to see a secondary work of the Spirit here. Now, Eric, let's walk through the major thing and the secondary thing going on here. What is the major work that God is conducting among these brethren?
Declaring his message, giving his word of life.
That's it, okay? Y'all, I'm going to call this the major work of the Spirit or the primary work of the Spirit, okay? The primary work of the Spirit is the giving of the message. Why is the giving of the message the primary work of the Spirit here?
Because the secondary work is the confirmation of the said message. So,
exactly.
The message is the primary, source of what God is distributing.
Exactly. And y'all, look just at a couple verses in Hebrews. Notice how much of Hebrews gives an emphasis to this idea of message. Go back to chapter 1, first two verses.
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world.
So here, God has spoken through?
Through the prophets and through his Son.
Ah, now the message of salvation has come through Jesus. Verses 3 and 4 give a beautiful summary of this message of Jesus. Go ahead and read those two, please.
Okay. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Everything that we have in this message, the contents of this message, is Jesus himself, the salvation that he's brought, the priesthood that he's established, the royal kingship that he now has given. All of these things are part of the message. And did you notice back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, the message has now given us such a great salvation? Likewise, look over to chapter 4. We see the same thing over in chapter 4. Just read verse 12.
Yep. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God.
So here we see in 3:12 the heart and the importance of it. The reason is because, chapter 3, verse 7, today if you hear his voice, again, this is message idea. Then one more, chapter 4, verse 12.
Okay. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Again, it's the word, it's the message, okay? So, y'all, we've talked about the word of God in a previous class, but I do want to do just a very quick summary here. This phrase, word of God, is a really difficult phrase for Bible students because John 1:1 in the beginning was the word. So in a sense, Jesus is the word. There's other passages that talk about the scriptures, the Bible as the word. There's other times that the word is talked about as what God said in creation. But essentially, the word is God's message. It's God's message. But like any attribute of God, it's not static to where it's just waiting up in heaven, just collecting dust. The word of God is living and active and breathing life into everyone who listens to it. In Isaiah 55, this is beginning around verse 6 of that chapter, the word of Yahweh goes forth. It's living. It's on the move. It's saving. It's giving life. That's the word that God has given. But let's make this very clear. What role does the Spirit have in the deliverance of this word?
I guess the Spirit is what allows the word to penetrate our heart and to transform our lives.
Exactly. Much as you cannot speak without breath, you always have breath as you speak. There is no word without the Spirit. The inspiration, this God breathed, the Spirit evoked nature of the scriptures, of the word of God, of the message of God, is by the Holy Spirit. And y'all, let's not forget that. Okay. Above all else, we should be most grateful that God has given his holy word in the Son by the Spirit. Okay. That's the primary thing the Spirit does. But there's a secondary thing here. Now, Eric, you've already talked about this, but let's go back to this. What is that secondary or supporting work of the Spirit?
It's the confirmation of the word, of the message, by miracles and signs and prophecy.
Go ahead and read verses 3 and 4. Pick up in that first full sentence of chapter 3 and do verses 3 and 4. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
These signs and wonders and miracles and gifts, what purpose do they serve?
Confirmation. Reaffirming the message.
Exactly. It's confirmation. It's support. It's witness to what God has given in the word by the Spirit. A couple of examples here that I'm probably going to go back to quite a bit. The first is my famous copy code example. So, Eric, a good preacher, you want one who is good at sending in copy codes, right?
That's right.
Exactly. That is my primary task in life that I'm skilled at. Yay me. 30 years old, and this is what I can do. Every month, I send in the copy codes for the church building. It takes me 5 minutes to do. I go type in the numbers for how many copies we have, and we get to use a copier that I use for a lot of good things. I use it all the time. Does making copies help me in my work?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Have you used some of my workbooks before?
Yeah.
Absolutely, sure. Right? They're helpful. I'm really glad that I have this tool. But imagine if you were to look for a preacher who is good at sending in copy codes.
Right. If that was your primary duty, then we'd probably be looking for another preacher.
Yeah. Well, we won't talk about my skill set publicly, but that's not the primary thing I do. It's helpful. It supports me in what I do, but it's not my primary thing. But y'all, I am afraid that far too often Bible readers have been looking for a Spirit that is good at giving signs and wonders and tongues rather than one who is good at giving life. If you're looking for a Spirit whose chief thing is giving signs and wonders and miracles and gifts, and that is the primary thing that you're looking for him to do, you're looking for the wrong Spirit. The primary thing the Spirit does is
it declares God's message.
Which
transforms our lives and penetrates our hearts.
That's it. Now, y'all, how much greater of a Spirit are we able to serve when we know that's the Spirit that we serve? Not one who is just giving miracles and healings and prophecies and signs. Yes, those have accomplished a very important work, but it was all for the purpose of giving the message of life. Now, Eric, let's just talk pragmatically here. Especially to the hearers, why did the Spirit need to give prophecies and signs and gifts and tongues? Why was that necessary?
Because a lot of them, probably had a lot of hesitation and doubt about this message And especially when it came to, you know, the inclusion of other groups and ethnicities of people, and God just had to show that this was the message he was declaring to the world.
Absolutely.
And I think that was the way to most effectively impact, you know, all the people that were hearing this message and seeing this message lived out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God wanted to give substantiation, proof, that his message was true, that it was reliable, that it was the message from God, because it had such importance to it. Every time God gave new revelation and new information, he always wanted to make sure it was substantiated by amazing things. Let's go back to the Exodus here. How could anyone in the ancient world have known Yahweh was God? He confirmed it. He could have led his people out through dry land, but he parted the Red Sea, and he gave every possible proof that Yahweh is God. That's what the Spirit has done with the revelation of the message, is he has confirmed it, he has supported it, he's proved it, he's warranted it by his wonders and signs and miracles and gifts. And praise be to God that we have this new message of life.
Amen. And he's verified it for anybody who's willing, you know, across the world to look for this God. He's verified that message.
Absolutely.
For anybody who's willing to look and try to find some kind of verification, he's proved it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So y'all, here's the encouragement that Eric and I want to give us. As we go through these next few classes, we're going to go to the book of Acts, and in particular look in that book about some of the miraculous works the Spirit conducted. Let's not lose sight of the primary work of the Spirit. It's very easy to marvel at, whoa, a man was just healed. Whoa, they spoke in tongues. Whoa, there's prophesying. That we get so enamored by all these things that we lose sight of the primary thing he's doing. Here's my second analogy. I'll close this out after this. Y'all know I love Christmas. Christmas morning, you open up the package, and then you hold the wrapping paper in your hand, right? And that's what you're so happy to have. You go inside to get the present. The signs and wonders and gifts and miracles, these are the wrapping paper. They delivered it, and it showed this is the gift, this is the thing that's coming. But you still need to look to see what was inside, to see what the Spirit was really giving.
It's a great analogy.
Anything to close us out on here, Eric?
No, I just like your urging to keep that primary work in your mind, because even me myself, when reviewing for these studies, find myself reverting back to my way of thinking of the Holy Spirit was this was something that I don't experience, that maybe the church at the very beginning stages had experienced, but maybe is not so much effective and working in my life. But I couldn't be further from the truth, you know, when I think that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's honestly easy, you know, either for those who claim the continuation of miraculous gifts today to be drawn to those ideas, or even more particularly among our fellowship, where we perhaps likewise many dominantly claim that the primary work of the Spirit was the giving of signs. Oh, that doesn't affect me because the Spirit stopped doing those things. So the Spirit doesn't have anything to do with me because he's up in heaven because he's always already given me the word. Oh, God forbid.
It's scary. Yes,
yes, it is.
I've thought that way for 30 years. It's scary. Yeah.
Yes. And how much better is it to know that we have a Spirit with us?
It transforms your life.
It transforms us.
Yeah,
exactly. And praise be to God for it. Well, y'all, next class, we're going to go into the book of Acts, and we're going to continue this idea of the primary and secondary works of the Spirit. And so we'll pick up with you then. Thanks so much.